Well, the global climate change debate appears to be over. We've finally begun to accept the fact that not only is global warming real, it poses a real threat to communities worldwide. With close to 7 million people living in the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time we take a closer look at how climate change is impacting our Bay and what we can do about it. Our guest today is Lynn Trullio, lead scientist for the South Bay Salt Pond Restoration Project and a professor in the Department of Environmental Studies at San Jose State University. This is Your Wetlands.
As we know, the atmospheric temperature of the Earth is warming, and there's just no scientific debate about that. That's a fact. And there are projections from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that temperature increases will continue. So this increase in global temperature results in what is called global climate change. And global climate change is the suite of consequences of an increasing planetary temperature. As temperatures rise, that will have many effects on the Bay Area. One is that as global temperatures rise, water temperature is rising, and so sea levels are rising, and the sea level in the Bay Area is rising. And so that's one sort of immediate effect of global climate change in the Bay Area. And so this has a range of potential consequences for people living right next to the Bay and for wetland also.
Lynn, what are some of the specific impacts scientists are envisioning with respect to climate change and San Francisco Bay?
Well, I think probably the best, most visual example of what we're expecting is the recent maps put out by the San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission, BCDC, and they did a map showing the predicted 1 meter sea level rise over the next 100 years or so, and what that would mean. And basically, a lot of areas that are developed now are in that range. You know, as sea levels rise, it's going to come inland, and you know, all around the Bay, it's pretty flat, and so that means that we are going to have to protect ourselves from rising waters, and pretty quickly, too.
Lynn, in terms of planning, given the number of people living right around San Francisco Bay and the idea that we can predict some of the impacts, how do we actually respond to that?
That's a great question, and there are two primary approaches to responding. One is sort of what we call adaptation. We know that sea levels are going to rise, so how do we get out of the way of that? And then the other response is, okay, we know that carbon dioxide is the primary gas resulting in global warming and climate change. And so how do we get CO2 out of the atmosphere? The more we get CO2 out of the atmosphere, the less the temperature will warm. So from the standpoint of, you know, how do we get CO2 out of the atmosphere? There are a number of things. First, we need to reduce the amount of CO2 that we're putting in the atmosphere through fossil fuel burning and that kind of thing. But also we want to try to take out some of the CO2 that's there. And there are a lot of schemes right now and sort of this big approach to like planting trees, right? We hear a lot about this. Let's plant trees and take CO2 out of the atmosphere. And trees do remove CO2 from the atmosphere. But actually, when it comes to the best bang for your buck, sort of acre for acre, restoring tidal salt marshes is actually much better than planting trees, because acre for acre, tidal salt marshes pull more CO2 out of the atmosphere than even forests. So restoring wetlands in the Bay Area is a great way to remove CO2 from the atmosphere.
Apparently, there are many reasons to restore wetlands.
Yes, restoring wetlands do actually help reduce the flood risk that will be associated with higher sea levels. So by restoring tidal salt marshes, these marshes actually dampen down the effect of storms. And so New Orleans is a really good example of what happens when you lose your wetland. They had a much bigger effect from Katrina because so many of their wetlands have been destroyed. So by restoring wetlands, we add to our flood protection, and then also by restoring wetlands, it allows water coming downstream to get out to the bay more easily. So from the standpoint of flood protection, the local agencies in charge of flood protection are very happy with doing restoration. We hope also that by restoring tidal wetlands, it will reduce the size of the levees that we're eventually going to need to have to protect us from rising sea levels. So as far as adaptation goes, going to have to do a suite of things, restore wetlands, but also build higher levees, and quite honestly pull back from the shoreline. Of course, this also means not doing any further development that is in areas that are going to be subject to sea level rise.
And we've talked about flooding and how wetlands can lessen the impact of flooding, but we haven't put all of these things under the umbrella of climate change before.
Yes, that's right. And really how important all of these aspects are for protecting ourselves from climate change. And rising sea levels is just one aspect of the climate change picture we're going to have to deal with in California.
The point here is that climate change and sea level rise will impact so many people and communities. Now, you're outlining some of the benefits of wetland restoration that could lessen the impacts of climate change.
Absolutely. There's really no downside to restoration when it comes to planning for and adapting to global climate change. One of the issues that we may face with tidal marsh restoration is whether sea level rise is so fast that it actually inundates the wetlands. And I will say that the current projections are such, at least for the South Bay, that based on the sea level rise projections from the IPCC and the rate at which marshes build in the South Bay, that we're probably pretty good right now in the sense that marsh development seems like it's going to be able to keep up with sea level rise.
Lynn, I am always impressed by the fact that with wetland restoration, the positive changes can occur so rapidly.
That is so true, Jerry. It is quite rapid. Plants come in relatively quickly. And a couple of other interesting things about that is that although the response is rapid, it's also long-term. So that tidal marsh wetlands, as they build up, they're constantly sequestering more and more carbon. So that carbon storage goes on for a very long time. And if the rate of wetland building can keep up with sea level rise, that as sea levels rise, the wetlands build more wetlands, and so they pull in more carbon as sea levels rise. Marshes are constantly building with the tides. As the sea levels rise, the marshes are continuing to accrete and pull carbon out of the atmosphere. So it's a long-term benefit.
You've been listening to a conversation with Lynn Trullio, Professor of Environmental Science at San Jose State University. Your Wetlands is a project of the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture, and our podcast is supported through grants from Pacific Gas and Electric Company and the California Coastal Conservancy. To learn more about the San Francisco Bay Joint Venture, please visit sfbayjv.org. And we welcome your email comments and questions. You can address them to yourwetlands@gmail.com. Again, that's yourwetlands@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I'm Jerry Kay.